Go ahead and turn. Where do you guys think I'm going to go today? Nope, I'm done. I'm done. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. A couple months ago, I was talking to my father, and he said, Chad, where are you planning on going next when you're done with Ephesians? I said, well, I really haven't thought about it just yet because I'm trying to concentrate on this. I said, why, you got a particular place you're going to go to? He goes, yes, I do. And that's what I loved about my father. You know, even with what he was fighting towards the end of his life, he still was setting goals. And that's a tremendous example when you begin to think about those things. He was still looking into the future of what he was wanting to do for this church. And I said, so what do you want to do, Dad? What do you want me to stay away from? And he says, stay away from 1 Timothy. I said, okay, so which is why I'm going to 2 Timothy now. And anyway, we're going to have some good time. I'm really going to spend some time this morning just kind of building up to what we're going to be going over for the next several weeks. Again, you know me, I'm not going to be in a hurry for this. Where do we got to go when you think about it? Why do we need to hurry through these things? And so we're going to spend a lot of time in this and see what God has for us in 2 Timothy chapter number 1. My code is not letting me in to my tablet. Kurt, this is exactly what we talked about. There we go. Don't panic, folks. We're here. We're going to begin reading verse number 1. We'll read down through verse number 5. And just to let you have the title of the message this morning, it's very simple. And we're going to explain this as we go through this. But this is called the precious gospel. And hopefully we can make some sense of this morning. Verse number 1 down through verse number 5, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and am persuaded that in thee also. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, again, we're grateful to be here. I hope we're grateful to be here. God, I pray that you just again begin to speak to our hearts this morning. Thank you for your people, for their faithfulness, for their love for you, their desire to further their relationship with you. So God, I pray this morning as we go through this that you would be glorified through everything that is said and done. And Lord, I know that as I said this morning in the earlier prayer meeting, every time the Word of God is open, there is a spiritual battle that takes place. And so God, I pray that as that battle begins to take place, Lord, I pray that we would claim victory in you. Lord, the devil's already defeated. And Lord, we need to remind them of these things from time to time. So God, I pray that our focus would be upon you, and I ask it in your name. Amen. I'm going to be honest with you this morning. I read the first 5 verses, but I'm not going to go through the remainder of that verse number 2 down through verse number 5. I'm really going to focus on verse number 1 this morning and just explain Paul's position, where he is at with this. Says Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. For the next several weeks, we will study out 2 Timothy. And this letter here is a touching letter to a beloved son. And I'm not talking about a son that was by birth. I'm talking about a son by faith. It is a relationship, when you begin to think about this, a relationship that needs to be admired by many people. And I say this for a reason, because you and I, we have the privilege to be an influence in the life of believers. We can be an encouragement, we can be a prayer warrior for them, we can be an encourager for them, and I believe this is where Paul is at in his life with Timothy, and he's going to take some time to really look into this relationship here a little bit. So it's a relationship that should be greatly admired, one that we all, when we think about this, one that we all should strive to have, and to be willing to invest in the life of individuals. You know, it's amazing when you know of somebody who takes time out because they're wanting to invest in you. That, to me, that's just amazing. I appreciate those things. I'm going to use for an example this morning, and that is Brother Ziner. Brother Ziner has been on the phone with me almost constantly since the passing of our pastor. And he's taken the time to invest his time into my life, to maybe pass on some wisdom, to be an encouragement, and I appreciate that so much. And with that being said, there has been a great bond that has taken place between the two of us. And it hasn't just been with him. I had a few phone calls with Brother Sturts. I've had a few phone calls with Brother Todd, and I had a few phone calls with, I can't think of his name right now, he's coming to our church, Ralph Rice. And it means a lot because they're wanting to invest, and they're wanting to be a help, and so I appreciate that so much. We see in the first verse again on how Paul addresses himself as the apostle. Some letters he'll start off, he's the apostle, or he'll say he is a servant of the Lord. A few things I want to point out is this: God had a calling on his life. Let that sink in for a little bit. God had a calling on his life. So it's important to note, because man will try to argue this. Do you realize man does not call man into the ministry? God does. That's up to God. God does the calling into man's life. God calls, God appoints man into the ministry. He is called into the ministry, as it says in verse number 1, according to Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. He's called into the ministry by the will of God. So in other words, it was God's will for what? For Paul to go into the ministry to do what? To evangelize, to be a teacher, to be a preacher, to be an encouragement, to be a help. So we see this, he was called by the will of God. It was God's will for Paul to be an apostle. This is very hard to understand due to the fact knowing where Paul had come from. Do you realize it doesn't matter where you come from when God has an appointment for you? Because God's going to change your life. And so as we look back at the story of Paul, we see what he did to many of the Gentile believers. We see what he did. We see the havoc that he caused upon them. We see at times they'd be put in prison. Sometimes they'd be killed. But Paul had an appointment with God, and God changed his life. And this should give us all hope that God doesn't give up on those who we think aren't deserving of his love. So often we do that. Well, God only loves me, but they're not deserving of God's love. When we think about it, none of us are deserving of God's love. None of us are. But God had a plan for Paul in his life. It is also interesting to note that Paul was rough around the edges, as you can see in many of his letters. As you begin to study his letters, you begin to see a few things that will stand out about Paul, and that is this. One, Paul was very bold. Paul didn't beat around the bush about some things. He was very direct. He was bold in what he was going to say. Not everyone had agreed with the style of Paul either. When he was first in the ministry, there was a period of time where the disciples ignored him, mainly because they were probably skeptical of what took place in his life because they knew what he was, but they ignored him. We even see in the life of Paul that he and Peter didn't always agree with each other. But we know one thing: even though they didn't always agree with each other, what was their one common bond? It was Christ. So I'm going to stop here just for a little bit. Even though we might not agree with each other all the time, we should have one thing in common. That is what? That is Christ. I'm going to give you a little bit of an example. I know my wife doesn't like it when I do this on occasions, but my wife and I, we've been married for 28 years. For 28 years, we have not always agreed with each other. But we have one thing in common. Well, a couple things. One is we love each other. The second thing is we have Christ. And so despite our disagreements, despite of us not wanting to agree with each other on everything, We always come to a resolution because we have one goal in mind, and that is this: to keep Christ in our relationship and to continue to grow in Him. So we're not always going to agree, but we all have the same thing in common. Hopefully we all have the same thing in common, and that is Jesus Christ. I will mention a few things about Paul. I don't think that we today could handle the preaching of Paul. I want you to think about this. And I'm going to say this, and please realize why I'm saying this. Because I believe we as a society now become too soft. We have become very sensitive. And the preaching styles that we grew up with, when they do take place, we become offended by them. But we must understand that the message is coming from the Word of God that was laid upon the pastor's heart. And sometimes the message that's going to be spoken from the pastor or the preacher or the missionary or the evangelist is not always going to be a popular message. Sometimes it's going to be a message that's really going to cut to our hearts. And it's going to cause us to examine ourselves and say, man, maybe they're right for what they're saying because I haven't really been living the way that I should. But Paul's preaching, as again, was very bold, very direct. And we can't handle that because of what we've allowed ourselves to become. We complain about the woke society today in our world, but I'm going to be honest with you. I believe it's in the church. I really do. But anyway, I'm not going to dwell on that much longer, so we're going to continue to go on. Paul had a specific call in his life, and that call was to the Gentiles. Even though God called him to the Gentiles, where did Paul always go when he went from town to town? Paul never forgot about the Jews. So as Paul would go in and he would begin to set up his ministry into the towns that God has called him to, Paul would always go to the synagogue to preach to the Jews first. And then the Jews would reject his teachings. Paul would shake the dust off of his feet. And then he would move on, and then he would give the gospel. And I'm focusing on the word gospel for a little bit because we're going to dive into that. But he would then take the gospel to the Gentiles. The Gentiles would hear the gospel. They would receive the gospel. And then what would take place? And not all, I understand, not all who heard the gospel... Didn't always give in to the gospel, but a majority that were there were affected by the preaching of Paul, and they came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But he always went to the Jews first. What was Paul's call? Well, I mentioned the word gospel. He was called to spread the gospel for what reason? To continue the work of Jesus Christ. Okay, with that being said, let's bring this into our world right now. Jesus is with his Father in heaven. He has sent us the Holy Spirit to be our comforter. Paul is no longer around. The disciples are no longer around. Who is? We are. And because we are around, and now we are part of the body of Christ, because God has searched us, God has never given up on us, and we finally gave in to him, and we finally said, okay, God, I recognize that my sins are separating me from you, and I want to have forgiveness of my sins, and I want to spend eternity with you, so now I am going to accept you as my Lord and Savior. And now that responsibility has been shifted from the disciples to who? Class participation right now. Us, exactly. It has been shifted to us. With that being said, because it has been shifted to us, there should be a great urgency to get the gospel to the world that needs it. So Jesus started this, and the work of disciples, continue this, and now Paul is upon the scene. Now Paul's job is to spread the gospel, and Paul had an urgency to spread the gospel. Paul didn't really set up camp for very long in many of the places that he went to. For this reason, he knew that his time was short. He knew that he had a great desire to give that message out to the world, and so he had an urgency to go everywhere. He just wasn't focused on one place, but he had an urgency to go everywhere. And his urgency was this: he believed that Jesus would return in his lifetime. And I hope today, I know Jesus hasn't yet to return, but I hope today that we have the urgency to give the gospel to this world. Why? Because Christ's return is soon to be. But do we live our life that way? Think about that. I don't know how you live. I just know how I live. And I'm going to be honest with you. There are times I don't live my life as if Jesus is coming back today. But we ought to live our life as if Jesus is coming back today. Well, what do you mean by that? With that being said, whoever we come in contact with, the gospel should be given to them. We shouldn't withhold it from them. We should have an urgency to give it to them. I've had a few messages this week through text, through phone calls, saying, Chad, would you please pray for me because we're dealing with so-and-so and we desire for them to get saved. You know what I see there? I see an urgency to give the gospel to somebody. I got a text message yesterday, and this was exciting to me. The text said this: my daughter got saved again. LOL. And I responded back, hallelujah. I'm thankful that she wants to be sure to where she is going. Why do I bring that one up? Because the parent had a desire to give the gospel to their child. Why? Because they want their child to have what they have, and that's Christ Jesus. That's what Paul's desire was as he was on this earth. Why? Because he was an apostle called by God to do the will of God, to spread the gospel to the world that God created. So he had an urgency. Today, we have lost that urgency. And I'm not saying that we don't have that desire, but that urgency is no longer there. It isn't the way it used to be. I remember growing up, the great urgency that was there to spread the gospel. Why was Paul concerned about giving the word to the people who needed it? Because Paul didn't want anybody to go to hell. Jesus came. He died for us. For what reason? Because he didn't want no one to go to hell. Paul came upon a scene, was converted, had Christ as his Lord and Savior, and Paul had a great desire for what? To reach a world that was lost, going where? To hell. Folks, that mission has not changed today. The only thing that has changed about that is the population of the world. It's much bigger and greater than what it used to be during that time. And so with that being said, we have a broader group of people that we must go to, which is why we're heavily involved in missions, because there's places that we can't go, and so we send missionaries to be representatives for our church so that they can help spread the gospel to areas that we can't get. Why? Because we don't want people to go to hell on our account, do we? You know why I got those messages this week? Because there is an urgency in their voice, and they don't want the people that God has brought in their life to go to hell. I praise God for that. I truly do. The gospel to this day is very powerful. For the next few minutes, we will talk about the acronym of the word gospel. So we're going to go through these letters this morning, and I see the time has not slipped away from me yet, so we're going to go through this. The first letter is G, and I'm going to put this stands for God. Stands for God. Who is God, And what does he want from us? Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of 1 John this morning. First John chapter number 4. If I can get there myself, that'd be great. Who is God? Verse number 8 says this. It says, "He that loveth knoweth not God, for God is love." So who is God? God is love. Saul, before his conversion, had no love for the Gentiles. How do we know that? Because of his former occupation, what he did, as I just described a few moments ago, he had no love for them. And you can say that he had no love for God as well. Which brings me to my next point. How can we say we love God when we have a hatred for the brethren? Think about that. Let me say it again. How can we say we love God when we have a hatred for the brethren? People who have a great dislike for the brethren have two things against them. I will give you two things. One is this. They have lost their joy. And maybe, I'm not making accusations because I don't know, but maybe they lost their love for God. 1 John chapter 3. Just back a page if you're, maybe it's on the same page for you. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 15, it says this. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. What's that saying? It is saying that if I have any type of hatred towards Charlie, it is saying that I have killed Charlie. And that's not how a brother in Christ should be towards another brother in Christ. Because God has called us to love one another. Let's finish reading this book, verse. For whosoever hateth a brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. The Bible's not beating around a bush about that, is it? So who is God? God is love. And because God is love, and we are representatives of God, we're ambassadors of God, so the quality that we're supposed to have in our life is not hatred, not a dislike, but a life that represents God, and that is we should be loving as well. Meaning putting no conditions on who we go to. That's why the Bible said, we said a few weeks ago, we're going to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost. That's what love does for us. That's where love sends us. So God is love. The second letter is O. And that stands for offer. What does God have to offer us? Well, let's turn back to our Bibles to the book of John, chapter 3. And we know this verse, but it always does us well to read these verses. John, chapter 3. It's going everywhere but John. What does God have to offer us? He offers us his son. Verse number 16, it says, "For God so loved the world." Matter of fact, let's stop right there. Let's say this together as a congregation, okay? 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, all together. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." So what does God have to offer us? Say it with me. Everlasting life. But how do we get that? His Son. God offers us his son first. So that's what he has to offer us. Why does God offer us his son? Remember, we're talking about the gospel that's supposed to go into the world, that we are to be administrators of, to give that gospel out. And so God offers us his son for what reason? So that we don't have to perish. Amen to that? So if the gospel that Paul is trying to distribute out to the world at this time, if it was good enough for him, it's good enough for who? Us. With that being said, folks, why do we keep it amongst ourselves? What's stopping us from talking to the clerk at the grocery store? What's stopping us from talking to the guy who pulls up to us in the vehicle? You know, I had that happen to me the other day. I'm sitting on Broadway, and I had someone pull up. I looked over and gave a quick glance, and I knew that at that glance I wasn't going to look back over, but I couldn't keep myself from looking back over. So I looked back over again, and they looked up at me, and they said, "Hey, what's up?" I said, "Not much. What's up with you?" They're looking at me in conversations, and I'm trying to, because they're high. I can tell they're high. And they start talking to me. They go, "Hey, what's your name?" I'm thinking to myself, do I give my real name? So I said, "My name's Julie." No, I didn't. I gave him my name. I said, "I'm Chad." And anyway, I said, "What's your name?" And he said, "My name's Blue." High as a kite. And I know why they said blue, because that was the color of their car. But you know what? That was, as I look back at that right now, I could have been their divine appointment to give them a gospel really quick. But I didn't take that opportunity. If the gospel is good enough to us, if God offered that gospel, if God offered his son to us so that none should perish, then why do we keep it to ourselves? It's not for us just to keep to ourselves, but it's for us to give it out. Say, "Hey, look what God's done in my life. Look what God saved me from, and look at the changes that he's made. And if God can do that in my life, he can do that in your life. Would you like to hear about Jesus?" So as God offers his son to us, we should be turning around and offering his son to this world. I heard this the other day, and I think I said it last week. I'm baffled at how little people know about salvation. Why? Is the church doing their job? Is the church spreading the gospel the way that it should? So we see in Scripture that he offers us salvation, and that salvation, once accepted, isn't to be kept to ourselves. I always like to use the illustration. When I get a gift at Christmas time, I remember as a kid, what do? We get so excited. We got a bundle of joy just wrapped within us, and we're like, "Man, I got this brand new walkie-talkie," and we go to somebody else, and we say, "Look what I got for Christmas." That's the same idea with salvation. Have that excitement, have that joy, and love just overtake your life. And say, "Man, look what I got." You can have it too. That should be our goal. Amen? So what we do with it, we do our best to distribute it to the world that needs Jesus. We can't forget about being urgent with the gospel. The third letter is S. What does it stand for? Well, what we just talked about, so we don't have to dwell on it very long. And that is salvation. I'm not going to have it stand for salvation. What I have it standing for today is security. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And again, if I don't get through this morning, we'll just pick up next week where we left off. John chapter 10, we'll read verse 27 through 29. Says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Salvation stands for security. What is that security? Is we have eternal life. As I began to deal with a young man last week about being saved, and after he accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, I said to him, I'm not going to give his name, I said, "Young man," I said, "you have now got security that you'll always have eternal life, because no man can pluck you out of the Father's hands." And the smile that came on his face, Kurt, was just simply amazing. Because as he began to smile, It was almost as if he was fighting back some tears because his lip began to quiver because he realized now he has security. Why? Because of salvation. We see here that security is that we have eternal life. There is so much joy in knowing the fact that there isn't a sin that can keep us out of heaven after we get saved. Amen to that? Why? Because God forgave us of our sins, past, present, and future. Well, how can God forgive me my future? Well, he's God. If God didn't forgive you your future, then your sins aren't forgiven. But he forgave us of our sins. So what do we do when we commit our sins in the future? You go to him. Say, God, hey, I don't want my relationship ruined with you. Please forgive me what I did today. I do it every single day. Every day. That's a part of my life that I do. And I'm going to be honest with you. It's not just in a general form of prayer. I'm very specific in what I pray for. So we continue to go on here. There is also security in knowing that God will protect us. Why do I say that? Because before salvation, God wasn't obligated to protect us. Now that we are his, we're his children, he is now obligated to do so. And this, folks, is another great picture of who God is, and that is love. So we have security. There is so much uncertainty in this world. We see so much violence. We see so much evilness. Your very life could be gone within seconds. Which is why the other day I had a hard time looking, but I didn't want to look back because I didn't know. But that is the case of a child of God. We can rest easily knowing that if we were to walk out of this world today, we have eternal security in him. When did my eternal security begin? April 25th of 1986. That's when it began for me. John 6, verse number 37, is another verse to consider. I won't read this, but you can look it up. It is another great verse for security. We are his, and he won't cast us out. The fourth letter is P. This stands for his promises. And we're going to read a few of his promises very quickly. I have many verses that I want to get through. So go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter 4, we'll read verse number 19. It says this. Whatever his promises, what are they? But my God shall supply what? All your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He will supply all of our needs. Isaiah chapter number 41, verse number 10. Go ahead and turn there. Isaiah chapter number 41, verse number 10. If I get there before you, that's okay. Isaiah 41, verse number 10, it says this. For thou, fear thou not. What's it say? For I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I counted four areas where Christ will supply our needs, where Christ will keep his promises to us. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 145. Psalms 145. We'll read verse number 9, and it says this. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. God promises his mercies towards us. For sake of time here, go ahead and write this down. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 4. If you need these later on, let me know. Again, you'll find another one in the book of Psalms chapter 48, verse number 14. And all of these verses and more tell us and assure us of the promises of God. We doubt God in these areas only because we lack faith in him. But we must understand God wants the best for his children. And we need to trust him. No different than you and I with our children or our child, or however many you have. We want the best for them. And we try to do our best to provide. But we need to trust in him. He has always been faithful to us, and he'll continue to be faithful to us for eternity. Today we are let down by so many people who have broken their promises. And I don't want to break, And I don't want to forget to mention we even break our promises to God. I have a hard time making promises to God. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't even like the term faith promise. One, because it's not even in the Bible. The application is there, but the term faith promise isn't. And that's why I don't like to make promises, because we break them. The fifth letter is E. This stands for everyone. Everyone who accepts Jesus as their Lord and Savior are guaranteed his promises. Amen? I use this word for a reason. Because Paul had realized not only did Jesus die for him, but Jesus died for everyone. That's where Paul's urgency lied. He became aware of this when God himself had dealt with him. Think about this. Imagine being stopped in your tracks for 3 days. And the Holy Spirit was the one that was dealing with you. Or God or Jesus was the one dealing with you. Paul understood that Christ hadn't just died for the Gentiles, but Jesus had died for all. A heart that was so hardened had been turned into a softy. And the urgency of getting the gospel out was on. And Paul had no time to waste. The last letter is L, and we'll be done here shortly. I had to run through a few things. The letter L stands for life. Life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. This can only happen, or can only be, because Jesus had died upon the cross. He rose from the dead, and we will be with Jesus forever in heaven. Who's looking forward to that day? I'm looking forward to that day. The older I get, and the more that I see loved ones go before me, I'm looking forward to that day. But part of the reality of eternal life is that it doesn't start after you die. It starts as soon as you believe. Go ahead and one last verse, John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Verse number 10, it says this. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have what? Life. And that they might have it more what? Abundantly. Exactly. This life is the joy of real, exciting relationship with Jesus. And it needs to be enjoyed every day. I'm going to end with this thought. Not every believer is enjoying their life with Jesus. That doesn't fall on a preacher. That doesn't fall on a pastor. It doesn't fall on anybody else. That falls on you. And that's not being harsh. That's reality. You can't blame somebody else for your lack of a walk with God. You can't blame somebody else because you're not desiring to have a relationship. That boils down, and I'm going to say what Pastor used to always say to me, that boils down to a heart problem. Amen? So I'll end on this note. God's good. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for the example Paul has set forth for us to follow, and that's the distribution of the gospel to this world that so desperately needs you. Lord, there is an urgency. Time is running out. Lord, help us to use the time that we have to be more valuable to you in this area. We pray that you just bless us in the next hour to come, and we ask it in your name. Amen.